My name's Michelle Awu, and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The purpose of the research is to compile a contemporary portrait of Britain. The date is the 17th of July 2009, and the time is now 12:20 p.m. Can I please ask you your name, your age, and where you come from?
My name's David Jones. I'm 56 years old. I'm from Wrexham in North Wales.
How are you?
All right. Calmish. Yeah. Just sort of butterflies this morning. I'm a bit scared shitless. But all right.
But that's changed now, has it?
Yeah. No, it's here. It's all right. Maybe this is the bit where you get on stage and the nerves go away. Don't know. Wait until I get on the plinth.
What do you do for a living, David?
I run the 3D workshops at the School of Art and Design in North Wales. It's part of Glyndŵr University, the newest university in Wales.
Can you expand on that, the 3D workshops?
3D workshops do... I work with animators. We make puppets, props. I work with fine artists. We do sculpture, casting, mold making, anything like that, frames. I work with jewelers and metal workers to do welding of frames, small jewelry, work with plastics, paper, work with the illustrators to make 3D objects from their drawings, and do character development with some of the students where we make plasticine models from their drawings. It's great, it's like being paid to play.
How does that compare with this experience today?
I suppose it doesn't feel so odd. I've done life modelling before. And, I mean, I went to life drawing classes for, God knows, years. And it just seems a perfectly normal thing to do. And it's one of the things I really thought about doing here, but I'd get shot, I think. Well, with my foot. It was just to hand out paper and pens to stuff with, and then not get completely naked, but partially, you know, and do that. So I don't know.
And what are you going to do today with your hour on the plinth?
On the plinth today, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do to start off with. And my profile just says, I just want to call it untitled for now because I have no idea. I'm mainly getting involved with it because I know Anthony Gormley's work and I like that. And it's made me think a lot about what the nature of sculpture is. And the first strong idea I had was about shadow as sculpture. And I looked into what a shadow constituted. And I think about sculpture actually occupying a space, enclosing a space, or interacting with a space. If you read about shadows, a shadow occupies a space completely behind an object. So does that make it a sculpture? And the fact that the most that we can ever hope to do is to cast our shadow on the land throughout our lives seemed an interesting prospect. And I was going to put a sheet of paper down and draw around the shadow at regular intervals, and that would be my record of achievement as I went through that hour. And I think this sort of altruistic thing where you need to justify why you're up there in a way, almost, I don't know. So I got in touch with Cancer Research UK through my daughter, who's the manager of one of their shops, and just said, as I'm going up there, could I do something to raise awareness? So I am, but I don't know what I'm doing yet. I know I'm wearing a t-shirt, and I know I've asked for a big banner because the top view onto the plinth would show that quite well. Apart from that, I don't know. It's something to do with their donate scheme. Because of the recession, it's hit their shops as well. So that means that they're getting as many donations, or maybe the quality of donations has fallen. So just to raise awareness of that, plus I've got a lot of messages from people who email me photographs, bits of text, some about people that they've lost to cancer, which is quite nice. And I don't think it's too depressing a thing to put up that either. And I don't know, ad lib it, play by ear. I've got some donate bags that I'll have, and I can throw those out to the crowd. Just looking through the window, it's a bit busier than it was when I first got here this morning. So we'll see what that's like. But I'm quite looking forward to it. Just do it for an hour and see how it goes.
Are you going to bring to bear any of your interest in art, artistic activity onto the plinth?
I wish I could, I think, in a way. I'd have liked to have done the life drawing project. I think that would have been nice, to engage the crowd without to go around the bottom of the plinth and hand out paper and pens first and do that. And I've not just found that quite difficult.
What is it that you particularly like about Anthony Gormley's work? You mentioned that earlier on.
I think the first one I ever saw of his was in the crypt at Winchester Cathedral. And I just found that absolutely fantastically moving. And I followed his work since through maybe the Australian project, where he scanned people's bodies in and altered them. So he didn't do the bog standard casting of forms in a way. Then there was the one up in Newcastle where the forms were represented by pins. So again, so this cloud of steel. It follows the same theme, but it's always different and powerful. The statues that were put on the buildings around London, just amazing, I think. So I really like his work.
How does it feel to be part of his work?
I don't know yet. I think it's like when the project's finished and you can look back on it as a whole, I think that's the time when you can evaluate that as a whole and look back on it. There were some adverse things in the press to start off with, and that's not seemed to follow through. I find that there's a lot of political cartoons coming out where they're using the plinth as a metaphor for something else, and that's interesting to see. The last piece of work that was on the plinth just did nothing for me, I'm afraid. Just the hotel shape, the giant stickle bricks. It's okay, but it doesn't touch me as much as this does.
Let's talk a bit more about your own interests in art. What have those been, aside from what you might actually be teaching?
I suppose mostly figurative stuff. I used to work with the National Trust for 12 years, and then I took over their workshops and ran them as my own business for another 8 and a bit years before going to the college. And it was always drawing and figurative work, really. And I find now that I'm more interested in the fine art side. The concept behind something is as important or more important than what the work is physically, in a way. That it can be poorly constructed, but it's almost like the singer-songwriter, that if their voice isn't fantastic, it doesn't matter because they're singing their own song, and you have to appreciate that. And then you either like it or you don't. But it's still their own song. Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell, unusual voices, but they're singing their own songs and telling their own stories, and that's the important bit for me. And I think of that in art. I've just been to the National Portrait Gallery around the corner, and they've got the BP Portrait Awards there. 90% of them look like photographs. They're so real that when you look at paintings of the side of them that aren't photographically pure, you feel as if they haven't quite achieved what they set out to do. In an odd way, but they have. But the photographically pure ones, it's good technique. Whether it's a good painting or not, I don't think so.
Do you think that's the aim of figurative art, or do you think that's subjective?
Well, no, you can take a photograph, really. It depends what you do with that photograph. I mean, you can see people in the portrait gallery going really close to a painting before they go, oh, it is a painting. And it's exciting, because you see it and you can't believe that somebody could actually paint that finely, but there's so many in it. And I've seen, this is probably the third BP Portraits Awards I've seen. And the first one, wow, fantastic, because they look just like photographs. But now it's, well, they look like photographs. You'd see Gormley's works on another place. The statues there, they are recognisably a human shape, and they are him. But the group of them looking out to sea, the fact that they've aged, weathered, rusted so much, that have been painted, people sprayed them. It's away from that pure figurative style.
How did you feel when you heard you had a place?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, really excited. The first time I did, they offered me a 11 o'clock at night slot, I think. And it was just physically impossible to get here and do that without staying over anyway. So I declined that one, but I got another slot within a week. So that's fine.
What's the main thing you'd say about yourself? How would you paint a picture of yourself?
Me? Enthusiastic. Inspiring it a bit, because I'm enthusiastic about what my students do, and I like to have an inspiring atmosphere around me. And workshops covered with pictures, paintings, face casts of people, toys, odd things, paper boxes, paper folds, sculptured books, all sorts of things. So I like to inspire in that way, to almost like a catalyst which doesn't catalyst, I think chemically, starts an activity but doesn't get involved and doesn't get changed by that. Well, I do get changed by it in a way, but it's good to feed that into somebody and see what comes out the other end. And students do, because the workshop, and look around for inspiration a bit. So, and I put down on my profile that I'm enthusiastic, caring, and tired. Because I do feel tired.
What time are you up this morning?
4 o'clock. But tired generally, I think if you're working in an art environment, it's emotionally draining a lot. And if you're going through the day and talking to people about concepts and talking to people about work and how to get their work together and what to do with it, then it can be emotionally tiring. And I think there are times by the end of an artistic day when it just feels like somebody pulls the batteries out and I'm gone.
What do you think will be the impact of going up on the plinth?
I was talking about doing a life drawing class up there, and I thought, to stand at this time of the day and go completely naked on there, if you went completely naked on there, it would be quite a small impact here. But it would be interesting to see how far out that went. If it was on the news, if it was in the papers the next day. That would be quite a good little thesis to do. You know, what's the impact of nudity in public? But if I'd done that, I wouldn't have gone completely naked. I'd probably be just a towel in front of me or something like that. But just that thing where... what that impact might have been on public. I'm sure in work there's loads of people watching this online, and on Facebook. I don't know what they'd say. I've said that I'd like to do something a bit more daring, but I'd get shot. And everybody said, well, just do it and live fast and die young.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'm feeling pretty calm about this at the moment. I'm sure the hour will go very quickly. The last piece I wrote on my profile was that I wasn't afraid of making a fool of myself, but more afraid of being mediocre, I think, than just standing there and doing nothing. But whether, and with reflection, that would be fine. We'll see. So I've no idea what I'm going to do with the cancer research people, but just wing it and see what happens. I'm sure once I'm up there, it'll be all right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.